Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Nick Harris.
Hi. So thank you for coming. I understand it's the last day of build. It's 2 o'clock. It's sunny outside. Please stay in your seats for the next hour, and hopefully we'll have a good time here. So who's enjoyed build? Oh, awesome. I expected there'd be like a, lots of people going to the attendee party last night, I guess. Today we're going to talk about developing Windows Store apps with Windows Azure Mobile Services. My name's Nick Harris. I've been at Microsoft now for a bit over 2 years. I reside and work in Redmond. It's not very sunny there, so I'm looking forward to getting outside after this as well. So today's agenda, we're actually going to talk about building Windows Store apps with mobile services. So we're going to do everything from the new version of VS, and we're going to focus on 8.1 applications. I'm going to show you how to get started with mobile services. So how many people in the room have already seen the getting started for mobile services? Or who has not, I should say? Okay, a few people. So we'll spend a little bit of time there, but this is a level 300 session. So we'll actually start getting quite deep quite fast. So after getting started, we'll jump in and we'll look at the auth options mobile services provides and do a quick demo of that. And then we'll look at how you can cache credentials. We'll look at geolocation, so how you can find out where you are or where your user is, how to save that place up within a mobile service, and how to perform radial searches against that content. We'll look at media in the sense of how do we capture media on the device and how do we go off and store that up in blob storage within Windows Azure, then how can we display that back. And finally, we'll close with notifications and live tiles. And in this piece, I'm hoping to show you not just push notifications, which you would have seen in the keynote, but also periodic notifications and how you can make use of mobile services for those. So the real thing around this session is I've tried to keep it, each section has a little bit that's sort of entry level, but for the most part, I'm answering questions that I get asked a lot. So, getting started. Let's do this. I'll try to keep it under 5 minutes. I'm going to drop out of my deck here and return to the Windows Azure Management Portal. Now, there's two real ways that we can go off and create a mobile services project today or a mobile service. One is through the portal. We can hit New, Compute, Mobile Service, Create, and we provide a name. So let's say something like End of Build. We'll hit Next. I'll choose to actually create a new DB instance. I'll put it in the East US region. And I'll select my server. We'll provide a password here and hit accept. Now, this is one way to create a mobile service. With the new tooling in VS I'll show you today, you can actually go off and say add connected service. Adding a connected service provides you the option to associate to a mobile service and also to create a mobile service if you don't have one already. So what this is doing here is it's actually going and provisioning a mobile service for us. It's provisioning a web tier as well as a data tier. Now, the data tier is actually a SQL database or an Azure SQL DB. We've got access to all that data, but mobile services makes it incredibly easy for you to actually go and interact with that SQL database without actually having to deal with a lot of T-SQL. Today, we'll actually connect to it in the geo demo, so I'll show you how you can make modifications there. But let's carry on with the get started. So I'm going to select... Sorry, I can hear someone talking. Apologies. So we're in the end of build mobile service, and we're presented with the quick start screen. I'm going to select Windows Store as my client platform, and I'm going to select create a new Windows Store app. I'm going to create a to-do item table here. This is simply just a shortcut to creating tables in this tab here of the portal. If I return back to the quick start, we can come here. I've created a table. I'm going to download an application this time, and I'm going to save this off to one of my most important folders, the delete folder. All right. So we've got this here now. Drop in. We'll extract this. And this is quite similar to the quick start you saw during the day two keynote for iOS. Instead, this time, we're doing a Windows Store application. So on the opening this, it's telling me, hey, this isn't a Windows 8.1 project, so we're not actually providing downloads for Windows 8.1 at this point in time. So we need to do one small change to turn this into an 8.1 project, hit properties on the project, select Windows 8.1, hit OK, and this wizard will perform an upgrade. Provide a build here, and that will actually go off and pull down the missing NuGet packages using NuGet package restore. And with that, we're able to now spin this up. So I'll show you what this application does, and then from there, we'll go and look at how it actually does this stuff using the mobile services client SDK. So on the left side of the screen here, we essentially see a text field for entering a to-do item, and on the right side here, we have the to-do items that have been entered. So do a good demo. It's probably my goal for today. So that's gone off and added an item. And in the time it took to hit save, it's actually gone off and persisted this data up in a SQL DB in Azure, sitting behind our mobile service. It's actually queried it back as well. So let's add a second item, hit save. So that's essentially an insert operation or a create operation if you talk in CRUD terms. We can perform refresh here, which is a query, and we can also perform an update. So if I go and tag this down to the side here and return back to my desktop, what we'll do is we'll come up and we'll select the data tab here. Let's use the new screen width capability. I'll drill into this to-do item table, and you'll see that it's got my data. Do a good demo and item two. One's been completed and the other hasn't. I'm going to add a third item here just to show you. Oops, I hit refresh, not save. If I hit refresh here, you can see that in a moment's time, when, there we go, item three is now there. So that's basically the quick start. So I'd like to show you how this is actually implemented. So if I hit stop here, we can close this down. The first real thing is these mobile services references. So this is through a mobile service NuGet package, which you can install. You can do that by doing add manage NuGet packages. And then you can search online for Windows Azure mobile services. So that's essentially what it's dropped in. You can use the package manager console if you prefer. The next key thing that this quick start has come pre-configured with is essentially an instance of my mobile service client. Now, this is essentially a client proxy that allows you to interact with your mobile service. In this case, it's hitting our mobile services endpoint, and it's using an app key there. If we drop into the main page, we can see those functions that were occurring through the application. So the first real thing that we've got here is an entity or a DTO that's serialized across the wire to be stored in our mobile service. So this to-do item class has an ID field, a text field, and a complete field, and that just models our data. Now, to start interacting with the mobile service, first thing we do is we use the app mobile service. So this is the mobile service that was dropped in here. And we go and say get table. We provide the type that we want to interact with, and this is the to-do item table. And now we've got a handle to the to-do table where we can go and perform operations. So the first operation we saw was the save, so it's just simply to-do table, insert async, and pass in an entity. And with that one line of code, you're going and persisting data against your mobile service. You don't need to deal with REST semantics or HTTP client or anything like that. So we've really made it simple to really start interacting with this service. The next one I'd like to show you is a bit further down here, is update. So update the same in the same way. Use a handle to the table, call update async, pass in the item. Now the next thing here, or the last one I want to show you, is really the query. So again, use to-do table. In this case, we use where. We provide a link expression. So this was filtering out all completed items. So we're only returning items where complete is false. And we've got to collection async here to pull that data back. And that's simply put the CRUD story for mobile services. We do obviously also support a delete operation. So there's also a delete async here as well. Right. So with that, that's the quick 101 of mobile services. What I'll do now is I'll actually drop into showing you how we can deal with auth within your Windows Store applications. Just before I do that, actually, if you've got an existing mobile service, if you want to do that add connected service operation, it's actually surfaced here on your Windows 8 projects. Right-click, properties, sorry, right-click, let me do that again. Right-click, add connected service, and then from here, if you've imported your mobile service subscriptions, which I've done through this, you'll get a list of all your mobile services. And from here, you can either select a mobile service to associate to or create the service from scratch. And what that will give you at the end of the day is a piece of code in here that you can use to go out and perform those CRUD operations. So let's extend this one slightly with auth. So I'm going to return to the portal here and select the identity tab. Now, out-of-the-box mobile services supports popular social identity providers such as Microsoft Account, Facebook, Twitter, and Google. And through some small configuration of these identity providers, we can actually go off and add support for auth in our applications using these. So you don't have to go and manage sort of usernames, passwords, those sorts of things. Just go and build straight on top of these existing identity providers. So we'll do Twitter. So let me jump in here. I'm going to go to dev.twitter.com. I'm already signed in, and I'm going to configure Twitter for this application such that I can log in with my Twitter account. So I think network's a little slow on me today. Hopefully it speeds up, otherwise it makes cloud demos very hard. Let me try this in a new window. Go here, my applications. This one make it there yet? It's not quite fun. Okay. Let's do it in private in case dev.twitter. Let's try this. You didn't see this. Not really sure what's going on. Okay. Is the network guy backstage at all? Let me try. Seems to be working there. I think it's just a Twitter issue. Yeah.
Getting somebody free to help with the network.
Yeah, I think it's actually Twitter. So we'll come back to this auth demo. For now, I'll actually jump straight to the geo demo, and then we'll come back to auth after that. Hopefully, whatever's going on with that service there will be resolved by then. So let's do geo. So when you're building geospatial applications, essentially some of the first questions people ask is, you know, where am I or where is the user? How do I save a place of interest? How do I go and say the user presses on a map and indicates that that's an important point to them? How do I take that point, capture it, and go off and save it up within a service such that I can do things with it later? And one thing that people typically do, you know, later is to query for places nearby. So we're going to build out a quick demo here that essentially provides all this functionality to you. So let's return to VS. I've got a partially baked solution here called My Places. And I'm just going to spin this up and show you what we're starting with here. So this utilizes Bing Maps. And currently, it's completely disconnected. So that's our network is providing us some issues again. Let's try this again. I apologize, I can't really do much about it if it's not connecting. We could try a different network or something. Okay. It's really quite bizarre. Let's try and clean this. Twitter is back. It's like one thing works, the other thing doesn't. let's pick up on the auth demo. Sorry, guys. All right. Maybe we'll do two demos in parallel. All right, I think I'm going to just try and ditch onto this one. I know this is like the... Anyone know the ShowNet key? Okay, that's it. So losing very important demo time here. All right. Let's see if this works. Have you guys had much problems with the public Wi-Fi here? Okay. I do have a last resort, which is, it's always difficult to do cloud demos without an internet connection working. Hey guys, pretty good. What's that? Are you going to try USB? Okay, let's give that a shot. Any questions so far on the stuff we've done? I've seen a lot. I'll try to be entertaining. I can't dance that well. We can maybe get karaoke up or something. All right. Okay. Okay, let's disconnect. Disconnect from that one. Nope. Okay. I'll let you keep looking at that. I'll try and go back to this one. Oh, there we go. Okay, great. Let's get cracking on this, dev.twitter.com. So let's go to the auth one. I'll do really just the first key piece of that, which is to sit here and wait. Okay, let's try the geo one. All right. Something's really not quite right here. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Sign in's not working. Can you get a close up of the sweat on my brow? Oh my. Let's try and do this. Says we're actually good there. It's bizarre. Okay. Really? Anyone got any good ideas here? Let's try and log in here. We're good there, but the dev doesn't seem to be keeping that. Okay. Okay, they're down. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. Only 20 minutes in. Let's get this going. So let's say build demo 20 minutes in is the name of our app. Say build demo X. The description will be that. I'll post all the code on my blog that we'll miss today, such that you know what's going on. Now, this, in terms of configuring your Twitter application, this is basically the important piece, is to get your mobile service name correct. So I think we called ours end of build. So we need to ensure that we provide end of build here within our callback URL. We're going to hit yes, I agree. And then we're going to try and get the, can anyone make out that first one? Oh, no. Okay, let me get this right again. Microsoft.com, tab. Read through that. OVTAR GANIE. Okay. Demo X, that's not surprising. Okay. Create your Twitter app. Okay, so we've got a Twitter app here. And the two key things you need really to configure your mobile service here in this case is the consumer key and consumer secret. So with that, we can hit save. And that will actually configure our mobile service to now recognize Twitter as an identity provider. To lock down our table, we simply click into our to-do item table, select permissions, and we go and set only authenticated users on this. Hit save. And now this table is locked down for all those CRUD operations. So if I were to try and spin this up now, what will happen is that we'll get a 401, unauthorized. So what we need to do is we need to authenticate users of our application. We can do this simply using one line of code. We're going to make this an async method. And we're going to say await app.mobileservice.login async. And we're going to provide an identity provider. We've got Facebook, Microsoft account, Google, Twitter. We're using Twitter. Close that off and run this. And now using Web Authentication Broker under the hood, we're now able to provide a Twitter login. You'll see these credentials are cached here. And that's because I actually did this demo earlier today in preparation for not having the internet, I guess. But in any case, we can hit authorize. Now that's gone and authorized our application, and you can see that we're now pulling back those results. If I were to run this application again, let me run it again, you'll see one important thing. So it's coming up again, it's cached those credentials, but we're still getting this Twitter UI login piece. And for some applications, you know, sometimes it's nice to remove that. So I typically get asked a lot, how do I actually cache those credentials? So we can do that here. We can say if app.mobileservice.currentuser is equal to null, then we want to log in. Yep. Got my nerves going now with all the issues I've had. Here we go. And then after we log in, we can simply say credential locker. So I'm going to use password vault, and I'm going to add in a class, which I built here a little earlier. So we're going to build, we'll go into auth, credential locker. Now this uses password vault, and it's a secure way, it's provided in the Windows Security Credentials namespace. It's a secure way for you to actually go off and save usernames and passwords. In this case, we're going to save the mobile service username and authentication token. So I'm going to use a snippet here to speed things up and try and get some time back. So we simply new up the password vault. We create a password credential. We provide a resource name, which makes it easy to query back later, a username and password. In this case, we'll pass in a token to this, and then we just add it to the credential vault. To return it, it's simply a matter of querying that back and then retrieving the actual password for the given username. So if I drop now into VS here, I can say, what are we going to say here? I don't have it there. So we'll say credential locker, and we'll say add credential. That's the method we just wrote. And here we're going to say app.mobileservice.currentuser as the username, and app.mobileservice.currentuser.mobileservices authentication token. Hit save on that. Now that will actually go off, and what have I missed here? String password. Sorry, it takes a new. No, that's right. Best overload credential string has some valid arguments. That's what I'm missing. Dot user ID is what we want to pass in there. And now from here, you can see that, great, I'm able to go and save that user ID and token. And now really the last thing to close the loop, so once we've logged in once successfully, this will get saved. We really want to go off and read that back out. Now to do that, we can come in here. I'm going to go in on launched, and we're going to say get credential. And what we do in this case is we say, call into the credential locker, this time retrieving the credential, new up the current user of your mobile service reference, and also set the token to what's coming out of the password vault. So if I run this now, we should see, okay, so this is actually retrieving one from a prior from my prior login. Let me go off and clean this up. We'll just go and do this is probably the quickest way to do that. So we'll log in once. This is now going to go and save it. Now let's close this and restart. And now it's gone and got the credential, and you've got no pop-up. Okay. That was only 25 minutes. Okay. So we'll hold the auth demo there and see if we can bring this geo demo back now. So let's go to our geospatial demo. What's this? This is my places. Just going to uninstall this in case this was causing me some issues. Okay. Let's run this up and see if we're good now. Interesting. So it's meant to be the Bing Maps tiles loading at this point in time. Looks like it's crashing out for some reason. Okay, let's return back to the auth demo for a little bit. So probably the last thing that you want to do with auth is to filter the data that the users are seeing to only show the data for the currently logged in user. So if I expand out Windows Azure here, this time in Server Explorer, mobile services, and then I expand in this case, we're doing end of build. Perhaps that was like a bad omen using that name. And we're going to open up the insert script here. So this is actually a script that executes on the server side. I'm going to say item.userID is equal to the user.userID. Now that's going to take the authenticated user's user ID and attach that to the row in the table. On reading that data back, we can actually filter to say only return the data that that user should be seeing. So we can say query.where, open brace, and provide an expression here saying the user ID column is equal to the logged in user.userID. We can close this here. We can now run this. What am I doing? I'm running the wrong application. Let's go here. So Server Explorer is global across multiple instances, but you'll see now that there's no data coming back. That's because I've got nothing assigned to the logged in user. If I go back and browse this, we'll see that there's no user ID column. If I go and add an item with user ID, pull this out, hit save, we'll see now that we've got a user ID. So hitting refresh now, you'll see that I'm only getting those that match my user ID. So that's filtering your data based on the currently authenticated user. So I'm going to leave the geo one. We'll come back to that at the very end if we get time. And we'll just skip right ahead to the media demo. Now, working with media in Windows is actually quite easy. There's a nice camera capture UI class there, and we'll use that. So I'd like to show you how you can capture media, but also how you can go off and securely upload that media to Windows Azure Blob Storage. Windows Azure Blob Storage is a storage service, and it provides you up to 200 terabyte of data storage that you can use for your applications. So I'd like to give you a little bit of a background here. This is meant to be blue. Don't worry, my machine is somewhat working. But what I'd like to show you is really how the Blob service works and a few different ways that people try to use it and some of the issues with using it in that particular way. Now, to use the storage service, you need an account name and an account key. Now, one approach I sometimes see people use is they'll take their... Let me go back here. Are you ready? All right. So they'll have a device application. We'll call it D. And they'll put the account name and the account key in the device app. And then they'll call the storage service directly. Now, this I'll call WAS for Windows Azure Storage. This is a really bad idea. Reason being is you're storing the account name and account key on the device. So an alternative thing that I see people do is they'll actually come off and they'll say, well, okay, let's not store the account name and key on the device. Let's put an intermediary service in between. Now, some people will use mobile services for this, or perhaps a web API. So what they'll do is they'll put in a web tier here, and this will have the account name and account key. Then they'll use something like Twitter Auth, like we've done here, to authenticate users of their application. From the safe code behind here, they'll call the service. Now this provides, or it essentially creates an issue for you at scale. If you've got hundreds of thousands of users, so you've got more devices being added, what happens is you're actually streaming an image or media that you've created here all the way through your web tier. Now, your web devices are I/O bound, so there's certain network bandwidth per each one of those machines. And one of the issues that you'll have there is that the more files you're sending, the more of your web tier you'll need to sort of ensure that you're scaled out and not getting capped based on the network. There's a better way to do this with blob storage, and it's essentially called a shared access signature. A shared access signature is a time box token that's generated in a web service, be it mobile services, be it a web API, and essentially gives permissions to a user to perform, say, a write action or a read action to storage for a time limited period of time. So what we do now is we say we have our devices, we call into our web service, we'll use mobile services for this today, and it will return a token. We then take that token and we write directly to the Windows Azure Storage Service our file. And what this means is our token is only, you know, 100 KB, and our images, like 1 MB or more or whatnot. It means as you scale out, your web tier doesn't have to scale out as much, and you're offloading all that heavy lifting to the Windows Azure Storage Service, which is built for scale. So we'll actually implement this scenario now, and I'll show you how to do that with a Windows Store application and mobile services. Let's keep that. So let's jump into Visual Studio again. Let's open a solution that I've partially prepared earlier. And we will go to Dev, Events, Build, Media, and open this media solution. Now, the first real thing that we need to do here is to add a reference to our mobile service. Now, I've got one here, which I created earlier. I was going to show Add Connected Service, but to show it save time or shave time off, we're just going to do this. You can see our mobile service client called SAS Demo Client can read and write to this mobile service. So if I expand this thing out, really the first thing we want to do is we really want to go and capture that image. So to capture an image, what I'm going to do here is I've got an on capture button, and I'm going to say camera capture UI, it's a class, resides within the Windows Media Capture namespace, and we'll say camera is equal to new camera capture UI. And then we can say camera.photo settings. I want to go and actually set an aspect ratio on this. It's equal to the new size. So this allows me to have a cropped aspect ratio that works for something later on if we get to it. We'll say 310 by 150. And then lastly, if we want to capture an image, we just say var image is equal to camera. Dot capture file async. We pass in a camera capture mode. Oh. Where is it? Camera capture mode. We can say photo, photo, or video. We'll just do photos for today. And this is async, of course, so we'll say await. So with those three lines of code, we're actually able to go off and capture an image. Hit the capture button. Can our application use media? Hit allow. So now we've got a video, an image, and we've got this aspect, cropped aspect ratio here. So I can hit OK, but that's not doing anything with that. So I'd like to get this off device, and to do that, I'm going to use a SaaS and mobile services. So let's start work on that. The first thing we're going to need is a table to store it. So I've got this DTO called media. So my media DTO has a SAS property, a URL, a file name, and a container name. A container is essentially a folder in blob storage. So we'll create the table to match that called media. You can do this from the portal or directly here within VS. There we go. So we've now got a media table. And now, if you recall, the first thing we're doing here was requesting a token. Now, I'm going to combine that on an insert script. You could use a custom API, the new thing which we talked about in the keynote. I'm going to use an insert script because I'd like to store a record for each line of media or each asset that I'm saving up there, which has the container, the name, and a URL where we can get that back. So what I've prepared here is essentially a snippet which will go off and create for me an actual blob SAS, a shared access signature. So this is called media insert. I'm going to tab this off. I'm requiring Azure. This is just a temporary file, but you can use NPM to push these up yourself. And here's my insert script. So I have an account name and account key. This is my blob storage account. If I expand this out on the left, you'll see that there's a Cloud Next storage account. And then essentially I say the addressable host for that is cloudnic.blob.core.windows.net. And that's the essentially the Windows Azure storage service that we can write to now. Now, to create a shared access signature, first thing I'm going to do here is create the container if it doesn't exist. So if I want a pictures folder, say, I'm going to create that pictures folder. I'm going to provide an access level for that container. So in this case, you can publicly read blobs, but you can't write them without either the application key or the shared access signature. So continuing on, once that's created in the callback, I create a shared access policy, and this says, what can this shared access signature do? And in this case, it can provide write permissions, and this token will expire 30 minutes from now. Then to simply generate your shared access signature, it's blob service, get blob URL, provide the policy, the file name, and the container, and then you've got your full URL with the SAS on the end in the query string. And to make it easier to bind to the UI, I'm just splitting off the URL of that image as well. So if I save this now, we've now got an insert operation that's going to return a SAS. So to speed things up here again, to reclaim some time, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to drop in my huge backup snippet. There we go. I've got a few small changes since I wrote this last. And we'll step through this code here now. So once we retrieve that image, we just check to ensure it's not null. And now I new up one of those media DTOs that we showed before that's going to be persisted to the media table. And you'll note I'm only setting the container and the file name. So once we do that, I simply say app.sas.demo.client get table media and insert that media. Now this insert operation will actually update this with any changes that have been applied on the server side. So if you recall here, the item that's passed up, in this case that media instance, now has a SAS and a URL attached to it when this method returns. So what I've got now is a SAS that I can make use of in the media.sas property here to actually go and upload directly to the storage service. So what I do is I say image, so this is the image returned from capture file async, open for read async. I just get a URI for that shared access signature, and then I create a storage credential. So this is just a nice class for wrapping your SAS. And I take the query string, which is the SAS token. I then say the container which I want to store it in is at the SAS host container name. Now, once I have a reference to the container, I want to put something in that container, and that is my blob or my binary data, in this case, an image. I say container, get block blob reference of this file name, and then from here, I simply say blob from SAS credential, upload from stream async, and I pass in the file stream. To close it, locally, I'm just adding that image back to a local collection here that's bound to the UI. So let's have a look at this. What's our container name is media. So let's run this. Let's hit capture now again. Do a high five, virtual high five. Okay. And if we return back here now and we expand out Cloud Nic and go to blobs, and then the container was called media. You'll see some here from earlier, so let's filter on time. It's probably right, it's a UTC time. There's the image add. Let me just show you this since we've got it here so you can see what the SAS looks like. Here's the SAS here. I know that's probably a little small. Let me pull it all out. Go to Notepad. Format, font. Let's put this right up to size 22 or something. Here's the whole shared access signature. You can see my storage account, the container, the image name. We need to get picture 3. And this is the shared access signature there. And that's essentially what we've done in those few lines of code. So it was picture 3, right? Let me make sure we get the right picture. Okay, there's a refresh here. There's picture 3. Let's download, and there you go. So that's delivered directly back from storage using that URL. So that's served off the internet. Cool? Thanks. And then I guess the last thing to close this one out, let me remove that breakpoint now. Hit continue. You can see that directly within the application, I'm now also basically just rendering that image directly from blob storage. Let's add another one, put it up here. After it adds it, you can see now it's pulled down from blob storage. All right, so that's blob storage with a SAS in a Windows Store application with Camera Capture UI. The last thing I'd like to close on this one is just showing you explicitly where you need to enable that capability for your applications to be able to use the camera. So if you select the package APEX manifest, go to capabilities. If you're doing video, you need microphone. If you're doing video or photos, you need webcam. So those are the two capabilities which you'll want to add. So with that, where are we? 18 minutes. Let's go and try and do push and periodic notifications. So two separate things. So let's pull this up here. So notifications and live tiles essentially are a way for you to go off and do things like send toast notifications, the little letterbox style thing that pops up in the top right. It also allows you to go and do things like control what your start screen looks like. So this is a start screen. All of these applications have tiles of varying sizes and different templates. And push notifications is one way that you can go and control what is actually rendered on here. Another way you can do it is, well, there's four actual ways. There's local notifications. That's essentially all done locally on the in the client application using, say, Tile Update Manager if you're doing tiles. There is scheduled, which is really good if you're doing things like calendar appointments, something you know in advance. So you can schedule for, say, your tile, for instance, be updated at a period in the future. There's then periodic. So periodic is essentially otherwise known as poll or pull. So on a timed interval, you'll hit a service that will return an XML payload that describes a tile, say, and you'll update that tile. So periodic notifications allow you to update the tile and badges. Badges are things that appear. Let's see if we've got any on here today. Doesn't look like it. Badges are the little things that appear in the bottom here, and typically it's a counter or a little mail icon from a set list of sort of 8 or 9 or so icons there. Now, push notifications are a little different. So what I'll do is I'll actually show you here. I'll just visualize the difference between the two. So periodic, you have your device on an interval of time t. It will call a service, and that service will return XML. And then that XML will be used locally to update, say, your tile. So that's periodic. Now, push notifications is slightly different. So push notifications, as Josh mentioned in the day 2 keynote, it is somewhat a complex task to configure. Once you're configured, you're quite good and ready to go. Now, what we've done with the tooling in VS here is we've gone off and we've essentially improved it to turn this whole configuration step into a simple wizard rather than a couple different portals, be it the mobile services portal and the Windows dashboard. So what it actually does is this. It takes a device. So we've got a device. We've got a service, in this case a mobile service. It could be a web API or anything else which you want. And then we've got what we call WNS. And WNS is the Windows Push Notification Service. So the flow to receive a push notification is essentially as follows. Your device uses the WinRT APIs to request a channel, and a channel is returned. A channel is essentially a string, an opaque string that defines a target for you to send notifications to. And those notifications can be tiles, badges, toasts, or raw notifications. And they can be sent at any time of your choosing. So you can target all those four different notification types with push, and you can send them whenever you want. As opposed to periodic, you're constrained by an interval, which is, I believe, most granular, 30 minutes. So once you have this channel, the channel is a way for your service to go off and send a notification to that particular application instance. Now, so I get my channel back, let's call it CH, and I pass it up to my service. My service then persists that within whatever persistent storage you'd like to use. Now, at some point in time, when your service decides that, hey, it's a good time to go and send a notification, it could be on a CRUD operation like an insert trigger, it could be on some background task, or it could be part of some orchestration workflow. But when you determine it's time to send a push notification, you essentially pull that channel out, and then you authenticate against WNS. WNS returns back essentially a bearer token that you can use to then send your push notification. That push notification is defined in the same XML format that you have up here for periodic notifications, and WNS will deal with delivering that and scheduling it back and showing it on your Windows application, either on the start screen or a toast. So looks like a whole bunch of scribble, right? Yeah? Let's go and see how easy this is to do. We'll start with periodic notifications, and then we'll do the more complex push. So I'll keep that, and let's create a new solution here, and we'll call this one periodic versus push. So this solution, now to set up the sorts of notifications I want, we need to make a few changes. I want to show you one of the new template types, which is essentially the large tile. The large tile is the size of two of these guys. And what we'll do to do that is in our package apex manifest, we'll come down and we'll say that we want to send a square 310 by 310 logo. You'll note that there's a whole bunch of errors here. And that's because we have to provide some defaults. So the first default that we have to provide here is a default square logo for our application. Now I'm just going to use a blank green theme, but this should really be representative of your application because that's the default logo at that size on your start screen that will be shown. So they should have an app logo there specific to your app. The next thing here is it's saying that if you're doing the extra large one, you have to provide a large or wide logo as well. Now to do that, simply we click into the wide and we select something of the appropriate scale. I'm just going to do this here as well. So now with that, that's sort of the config we required for periodic notifications done on the client. The next thing we need to do for periodic notifications on the client is actually to hit that service at that interval which we want. Now, with the updated manifest here, you can actually do that all through here. You don't have to use Tile Update Manager. You can just do it as a config option. We'll select every half hour, and now we need to essentially hit that API that's going to return back the XML that defines what this tile should look like. So I've created a mobile services here, a service here earlier called Push Demo. It's probably inappropriately named for a periodic demo, but to save some time, I'm just going to use Push Demo, so don't be confused. The first thing we're doing here is showing periodic notifications, and we're going to hit that at azuremobile.net. Now I'm going to use custom API, and that's at API, WAC, and we'll call it tile. So we simply save this. Now if I go back to my mobile service portal here, you'll see that there's this API tab. Now what we'll do is we'll select the right mobile service, push demo, and I've got tile here, so let me delete that one out because that's the one we're just about to create. So we're going to go and create this custom API now. So one of the biggest features people were asking for with mobile services was essentially the capability to execute script on the server side that's not attached to a CRUD operation. So what we've done is we've delivered custom API as a means of doing that. You don't have to perform a CRUD operation to call a custom API. So let's name this tile. I'm going to say get permissions. Anyone can hit this. I'm going to hit OK. And then with that, I can dismiss this and now step into tile. Now, in the script here, I've prepared a script a little bit earlier, custom API tile. We're going to hit Control A, Control V, save that. I set the permissions so I didn't forget. And this is a very simple API that's just returning the same tile. Obviously, in your applications, you'd make this dynamic. So you may be going out and hitting a service, maybe a weather service, it may be a service of news, it's anything really related to your application. But at the end of the day, you need to compose this XML template to be able to control what's shown on the start screen. So in this case, we're sending back a tile square 310 by 310 image and text. You can see another image in blob storage here, and then some text which is going to be written to the screen. So I'd like to show you where you can find these templates. So if I say, take this, and then here we search for tile template enums. On MSDN, all of the different template types, not just for tiles, but for badges, toast, tiles, and raw notifications, they're essentially all defined such that you can come and figure out how you compose them. Raw is obviously something where you're just sending a data payload, but the other three, toast, tile, and badge, are visual. So you can see here there's like quite a few of them. I'm going to scroll down. The one that we're doing is actually one of these new ones, and we're going to do this one, tile square 310 by 310 image and text 01. So that's what we've defined in XML. So that's that there. I'm going to save this. And now that's successfully saved. What we can actually do now is return to our client application, and we can see this working. I'm just going to show you this a little bit more zoomed in. What is it, Windows Key Plus or something? Oh, there we go. So there's my push demo, azuremobile.net, API, WAC tile. Okay, so let's deploy this. Well, let's just run it, actually. So this is going to run the app. It's an empty application, but it is configured for periodic notifications now. So if we return to the start screen, what did we call it? It was push demo. Let me see here. Let's pin this to the start. There's the wide tile, and if you recall, we were actually sending the larger template type. So I'm just going to go and say resize this to large. And there you go. You can see that periodic notifications delivered. And that's my good friend and working colleague enjoying himself getting makeup on for a live streaming session. All right, so that's periodic notifications. So this will actually execute now in that half-hour interval. If we had something dynamic in the background generating that XML, you would expect this tile to be updated about every half hour. So let's see push. I'm going to return to the desktop here. So push, we can basically come here and say, right-click, add push notification. Now, this is something which doesn't exist in VS 2012. It's new, we've just added it, and it's in this vNext of VS. Now, this workflow is really easy. Has anyone actually tried to configure push notifications without this wizard experience? How did you find it? Wasn't too bad. A lot of steps in different portals, though. All right. So this will actually take away that that sort of pain for us, and it'll also provide us a nice API that we can utilize to generate that XML. So I'll say NH. So this is my login for the Windows Store. So this replaces needing to go to the Windows dashboard. And my password is I love. There we go. And now what we can do, rather than creating an app in the store, is we can use an existing one, or we can reserve a new one. So let's say push demo now. Hit reserve, just so push demo is taken. There we go. So now we've got push demo 2. That'll actually appear in our dashboard. I hit next. If you wish to create a new mobile service, you just hit create service. Otherwise, you can select an existing one. I'll use push demo here. Hit next and finish. Now this goes off and updates your package apex manifest in the client to have the client secrets required that you'd typically be pulling from the Windows dashboard. It also goes off and configures your mobile service to have the credentials required for that auth step. Let me show you where they are. So you can see in push here now, on our push demo, we've got the Windows application credentials and that wizard has gone and set them for us as well. The last thing it's done is essentially wired up a full end-to-end push scenario. So you can see here that it's gone off and it's opened the insert JS script on my push demo channels table, and it's actually gone off and created this channels table for us as well. So it's automated the whole flow of collecting a channel, requesting the channel, registering it with your mobile service, set up all the client-side auth and server-side auth, and it's even dropped in a push that will send through WNS for us. So with that, we can see our insert script essentially calls send notification and saves the channel with some checking there. So if we come down, you can see send notification here uses push.wns. So this is the nice managed API you can use to generate that XML. And for each of the different template types, be it across Toast, Badgers, Tiles, you've got a nice you've got a nice function here that you can call that takes the channel URI and then an actual object defining the fields that are replaced on that. So I'll show you two examples. Let's run this. And you'll see that there's the toast that's been delivered as part of that wizard. I'd like to show you something a little bit different. So let's have a look at how we can use this for a wide tile. I'm going to pin this to the start. Oh, let me drag it over here. Okay. Oops, wasn't meant to hit go on it. There it is there. Okay, and what I'll do is let's change the send notification method here. I created one earlier, I think it's WNS. Let's do a wide tile rather than the large tile. We're going to do a wide tile. Now, for our image, let's grab one of the images we uploaded to Blob Storage before. We did that in media. It's auto-organized by last modified. It's all 26, so we want maybe, let's see what this one is. Virtual high five. We'll copy that URL. So you can see now here that we're sort of able to take something that we've collected earlier on the device and use our back end to go off and deliver that through Blob Storage because this is a publicly readable image. So what we've got is push.wns, send tile-wide peak image and text. Got an image source coming from a public source. You could have assets embedded into your actual Windows Store application, and you could use ms-appx and then a reference to it, but obviously they're things which you can't dynamically change past, you know, what you've deployed in the application. That's why public URLs are a little bit easier. And then we've got some text here. So let's run this now. It's still going to send the toast, I believe. Did I save that back? Oh no, it's not going to send the toast, we copied over it. And if we return to here, we should see, with any luck, our tile update. This is where we hang. There we go. Virtual high five. All right. And with that, I think I'll just leave you with a reference to where you can get a whole bunch of useful assets for mobile services. One of them being the geospatial demo, which I didn't get time to show you today due to the issues we had a little earlier. So if you come to windowsazure.com, hit mobile services, you'll see on this landing page we've got a number of quick starts that walk through step by step how to do particular things. We've also got a samples application here, or a bunch of sample applications across all of these platforms. And if you search down for, should be location, somewhere in here, geolocation sample end-to-end, you can actually click in here. It's going to take you to the Windows Store samples. And I've provided an end-to-end step-by-step of how you can actually go off and implement the scenario which I was going to show you today. So with that, thank you. I'll be available on the side here for questions. I believe the live stream's cutting off in 40 seconds. Thanks for coming to Build.